What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
This week is Worry Week, and we're looking at the environment or endangered species, anything around that. But I've chosen to focus on 1 billion trees. The government has committed to planting 1 billion trees. A big number of that is planned to be native trees. Newsroom did a story on this, and I wanted to follow up with it because native trees take a bit longer to germinate than exotic trees. The process is more complicated, let's say. So for the government to say this will happen, well, it may not be as simple as that. Different native seeds take different times to germinate, for example, and if you miss the specific time to clip a certain seed, well, you have to wait for the next year to do it again. Not to mention the capital needed to start this process, the soil, the tools, the labour involved, and you don't get anything back from that until after you have the crop to sell. Despite this complicated process, native trees are really, really important, so we need to make sure the support is there to see it through. Paul Michael works at Fern Factor, a specialist fern factory. I spoke to him about the project, how exactly it could get done and why it should get done. I started by asking his reaction to the announcement of the Billion Trees project.
Partly in trepidation, in that it's exciting. You know, we're excited. We think it's a great initiative. I think it's all being run out of MPI, Minister of Primary Industries. But also just trying to be realistic about the what it involves, and it's there's so many steps involved in the whole process. But on a really simplistic level, we want to save the planet, because there's no planet B, and we're on planet A at the moment. And great thing is we've got to make more carbon, and so let's grow more trees.
And how important are native trees in that process?
I think when we look back through our history, our past, New Zealand's got some horrendous record of destruction of native systems, of destroying waterways and, our forebearers. And we have, and we're still doing it to a certain extent, destroying a lot of native fauna and flora. So it's very unique, our flora of this country and our fauna. And I think 80% of all the species are endemic, found nowhere else in the world. If we lose them here, where they become extinct. So we have got a responsibility to, we've probably spent the last 200 years killing things, and, it's a great opportunity to replace and, revitalize and inspire, a wave of, native planting.
To your understanding, what support is available from MPI in terms of getting this project underway and completed?
I don't think you're probably pertinent to use the word complete, because a billion trees is probably going to see our lifetimes out. It's a long term project, and I think MPI, listening to Catherine Ryan on the RNZ interview about a week ago, MPI are sort of, they're just formulating it. The rules and regulations and the plans and the processes are all, and the legislation is all sort of being formulated now. So, my understanding that it's, they're wanting feedback, they're wanting input, and they're wanting to see how they can do it, because they've identified about 4 million hectares of land that can be planted. And they're thinking, a big chunk of that, remember, a chunk of that million trees will be forestry, and, trees for chopping down and coppicing and all the other uses of trees. But they also, they're thinking about 200,000 to 400,000 hectares of natives. And a lot of that's on private land. So, how are we going to fund that? In real costs and true costs, it's probably $100,000 a hectare. I mean, a lot of people will do a lot cheaper, but, I think if you're paying people the minimum, if you're paying people a living wage, and, everyone's getting paid some sort of reasonable amount of money, you're talking $100,000 for one hectare, and one hectare is only 10,000 square metres. It's only 100 metres by 100 metres, so it's not a big area.
How many trees would be in that?
Well, that'd be about 6,000. If you plant them at 1.5 metre spacings, it ends up at about 6,000 trees per hectare.
All right, so we need a lot of hectares.
So we need a lot of, there's a lot of trees and a lot of hectares, and sort of stepping back through the process, you know, there's got to be a lot of seed collected or a lot of spore collected. There's got to be a bit of certainty that, you know, we, as we've said, you know, the biggest native plant nursery in New Zealand that's been going since 1950 has just gone bankrupt, basically.
I want to come back to that just in terms of the challenges, but I'm glad that you mentioned long-term. This is a long-term project. And when we spoke earlier, you used the word aspirational, which I think, I mean, it is a good way of looking at this, right? If we make this commitment, even if we're not going to see it out, perhaps in the time allocated, but maybe, native plants, especially when you're talking about investing in sustainability or erosion control, for example, these are long-term commitments, right? And they're going in the right direction, are they not?
Oh, well spoken. Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's fantastic that the government are actually, it's like the, you know, I mean, this is part of this billion trees is tying into the environment, is it the environmental trading scheme? You know, the whole carbon equation, the price of carbon and our commitments. We signed up in that, you know, Kyoto Protocol and those international agreements to say we would bring our carbon down and we would increase our carbon, our growing of carbon and our poison that we're putting up in the atmosphere. So we've got, we have, you know, you've got to realise we have made international commitments with our position as New Zealand within the global, you know, the global community. And part of those commitments are we've got to basically grow more carbon, use up the carbon dioxide. And it's a simple idea, grow more trees. I mean, they did some huge plantings in China in the past where they've, you know, and they've taken deserts and converted them back into productive land. I mean, the power and the potential of trees and plants and ferns and just getting that biodiversity back, there's huge, you know, ecosystem services that, and the trick is it's always how to work out who pays for it. You know, how do we pay for it?
Exactly. So, going back to that sort of challenges side of it, and as you say, we've got nurseries closing down for whatever reason, be it, you know, the business isn't working or the people aren't stepping in to take over. We've got, you know, younger generations that don't really know about planting and growing. How is the government going to support the people that can do this to do this?
I think there's many parts of the equation, but you know, my take on it is we as a industry need to sort of get more, we need to in some ways become more specialised and get some more input. You know, someone, the government would do wise to look at the industry and then provide some training in respect to, you know, the whole part of this native planting is often that we want to plant the provenance, the local species to that area. So, you know, there's a huge opportunity for local areas and small nurseries to combine, but we must have some sort of, we don't have a registered process where we can say, yes, that seed, that Formium 10X, is from Waitakere's, or that Formium 10X is from the Canterbury Plains, and we need to, and that's sort of this local provenance, eco-source native plant production. We sort of, you know, there's a lot been written about it, but there's no overarching sort of strategy or system in place that's recognised that we can sort of apply. So we are making sure that we are getting the you know, the local provenance plants of that area grown.
In my research this morning, that word eco-source came up because it hasn't really been talked about, or specifically that has not been committed to by the government, to my understanding. Do we need more education around that and why we have to do that?
I think within the industry, it's pretty standard. It's pretty standard practice now when they put contracts out and listening to MPI, a lot of it's going to be sort of transferred. I think a lot of this policy and then the process is going to be transferred to local regional councils. And the local regional councils are pretty, probably since I think Di Lucas, landscape architect, sort of started this whole idea, must be 25, 30 years ago, about the importance of the local species that are local to your area. So, you know, it's been in the consciousness for 25 plus years. So I think it's sort of there, but it just needs some bit of effort put into it so we can get a sort of a recognised. It's like having, you know, saying you're an organic grower and your Demeter or your BioGrow, you know, it's certified, you have the label, you know, we're confident that that's organic. It's the same thing. We need some sort of certification to say, you know, this is, and so possibly there's a potential there where we could train up seed collectors. People could become seed collectors and propagators. Because in the true sense of the nursery business, you've got propagators, wholesalers, and then you've got retailers. And, you know, we need some certification into sort of, there's a potential there for people to be collecting seed, certified seed, and then propagating. And then they're saying, you know, we can guarantee this seed comes from this site. So it's sort of, you know, it's like the industry. If you look at restoration and revegetation in the native plant industry, in some ways it's like a, you know, it's like really young, you know, it's like a new, you know, there's huge amounts of innovation that needs to take place in this space. And, you know, it needs to take place, A, because, you know, we need to grow more carbon and we need to save the planet. We're, you know, hugely excited about what the governments and the MPI are putting efforts into. But it's just, it's not just a simple case of, you know, saying, hey, we want, you know, there's very, very, very few nurseries in New Zealand that could produce a million trees a year.
What is the actual process, just to finish off, from start to finish, of collecting and germinating and getting a tree ready to plant, basically?
Well, it's incredibly variable depending on the species, because every species of plant's slightly different, and partly it's not like a pine tree, which is sort of a, you know, it's not like growing cabbages or lettuces where things germinate. A lot of native plant seed will germinate over quite a large period of time, so you can sow trays. Generally, they're collecting seed. Sometimes it has to be scarified or stratified. It has to have a wee process gone through. Often the seed is sown in trays, and then once it starts germinating, a lot of species won't just all germinate equally. And so then that makes it a bit difficult, where with a pine nursery and seed, they can literally put it through seeding machines. So, you know, suddenly you're not hand pricking out, which takes, you know, a lot of time. You're actually just putting it through a bit of equipment that's just seeding plug trays. And then as soon as you can sort of get it into plug trays, then you can sort of automate the whole process. So you're generally sowing the seed, growing them and trying to get them into plug trays as early as possible, and then they have to be generally maybe transplanted once into a slightly larger pot, half a litre. Maybe half a litre to a litre would be sort of the size that a lot of these plants would be grown in. But you've also got to realise the actual growing of the plant, planting the plant, it's the cheapest part. Actually, most of the cost of native plants is actually in the maintenance. That's got to go on for like 3 years generally.
After
it's planted. So people get all excited and it's beautiful. You know, we want to plant trees and we want to save the world, and that's fantastic, but the reality is the tools in the toolbox to maintain those native trees are generally the hand weeding or herbicide. And a lot of people, you know, we've had a lot of bad press about herbicide, but the reality is there's not many tools in the toolbox to look after that tree for 3 years, say. You know, you might have to go there 9 times and spray some herbicide around it. And that's really the true cost, and these are the sort of, you know, the real sort of coal face working tasks that need to be done to do this job.
Well, thank you so much. I think that's all I've got, unless you want to add anything.
I think it's quite dear to a lot of Kiwis and a lot of New Zealanders, you know.
I think, I mean, my grandma's an amazing gardener, and it really just kind of scares me, actually, how much I don't know. You know, in the thought of a future where we're going to have to be sustainable and growing our own food is really, really important. I know nothing, so I think, I don't know, education around this is really important.
And it's sort of, you know, I mean, it is intuitive. Since the day dot, we had to make food and shelter. You know, and, you know, just possibly your generation has been brought up in a lot more sort of digital age, which has got this sort of, you know, push button, click, click, click.
Absolutely.
But the reality is we breathe fresh air, and the only reason we breathe fresh air is because we have plants expelling oxygen.
Mm.
And it's just a basic thing, and it's not about it's difficult or it's complex or it's confusing. It's just about where you decide to put your time and your energy in your life. You know, and it can, you know, planting plants and growing plants, it's not like we grow ferns. You know, it's nature's doing it. We're just sowing the spore and sowing the seed, and nature grows the plants. You know, photosynthesis, you know, you go away for 6 days and you come back and the plants have grown a bit more. It's a beautiful process, and we just need to simplify. In some ways, it's simplifying our lives back to the tasks of, you know, saving this beautiful planet that we live on.
Worry Week on The Wire.